Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. Hi, Niall. I wonder, can you look into something for me? I'm just so mad. I don't know what to do. A couple of weeks ago, some piece of you-know-what broke into my house. The place was wrecked. My TV and laptop were taken. My jewellery and my good coat gone. Well, I don't know why he took your coat, by the way. Maybe he was cold. Maybe it was a cold night when he robbed your house or something. I don't know. I'm sorry to hear that, by the way, that your house was broken into. I was freaked when I come home to find this. I had been away for the weekend and they got in through the back door. I called the guards straight away and they asked if I was hurt. I said I wasn't there when it happened. They said that they would send out a Garda car. Niall, it took a day and a half for the guards to come and another day for the forensic to come. When he came, he took my fingerprints and I asked him what was the chance of actually catching who did it. He said, none. He said, sorry to say, but it's more or less a box-ticking exercise. Niall, what the actual you-know-what? I work hard and now I don't feel safe in my house. There's no recourse. How do these scumbags get away with it? And what are the guards actually doing? Says Sandra. Now, it does raise an interesting question. I was in a similar situation many, many years ago when a house had been broken into. And yeah, it does take them ages to come out. And the forensic 2 days before they come out. And they tell you in the interim, even though your house has been turned upside down and stuff is all over the floor and everything, don't touch anything because we need to get fingerprints from it. So don't disturb the crime scene. And again, I was in a similar situation and I happened to say to the forensic guys, what's the chance of actually catching somebody for this? He said, none. He said the same thing to me. He said, no, they don't really catch anybody first. You know what I mean? It's just kind of box-ticking exercise. And I don't know really what the stats are for actually catching people. Do they actually catch people? But there's no doubt that crime is on the rise. And there's no doubt the amount of burglaries this year is on the, or well, 2022, are on the rise. Burglars were quiet during COVID because, of course, they knew everybody was home. So they weren't that busy. But now they're back again. And you really make sure, please, that you keep your house secure at all times. Always smart to have an alarm. And if you can afford CCTV, get it. Always good to have. Not just for you, but for your neighbour's house too, because burglars will pass by your back garden to get to your neighbour's maybe, or whatever it is. But the Garda response time around the country varies and it differs. And depending on the crime, of course, Garda will respond quicker. If, for example, if she was in the house when the burglars called, I'd like to think the guards would respond immediately. But the fact that the burglars are already gone, hours, you know, it doesn't really make a huge amount of difference if the guards get there in half an hour or the next day. It doesn't really make a difference because they're not going to catch them anyway because they're not there. I suppose that's the view of the guards and there's other things that take priority because we have limited resources. But I want to know what your experience has been. Have you ever called the guards for any reason whatsoever, or an ambulance for that matter? Have you ever called the emergency services? And what has the response time been like? Were you waiting a long time? Or did you get a really good response time and you're very happy with the service provided? Because it is a service that's being provided to you for crime prevention. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. What has been the response time for you? Oisín, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Oisín?
Hey, Niall. I'm still breaking my heart over the girl you had on last night.
Oh.
I've never heard the likes of it. I know I'm digressing. I'm sorry, but I'm still laughing.
Okay, so remind people, this was a girl who said her boyfriend broke it up with her 6 years ago. And I was all sad, like everybody else. And then I said to her, why did he break it off with you? Because I went to a party that he wasn't invited to.
The Valentine's Day party.
A Valentine's Day party that he wasn't invited to, that he did, and that he didn't know about. And then eventually I said to her, what sort of party was it? And she said, a speed dating party.
The hamster got out of the cage.
But what was it? She was oblivious to the reason why he might break it off with her. She was at a dating party with another guy.
Hadn't got a clue. Went right over her head. Whoosh.
Anyway, Oisín, getting back to the guard as she
called. Oh, God. Ambulances, no, because I've got COPD. So ambulances, I've never had an issue. Genuinely, they're usually here within 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, the ambulance response time. Well, you know, I'm not going to speak for the whole of Ireland, But when you're in a city, it tends to be reasonably quick. But I have heard people, you know, when these topics have been risen on this show or other shows, saying, you know, they waited an hour in very serious situations. I spoke to somebody recently who had a son who was very, very unwell. You know, I think he took a seizure or something like that, and he was practically unconscious. They waited over an hour.
In that respect,
that's Dublin. That's Dublin.
Yeah, look, I'm living in Walkinstown, so James's is, by location, it's fairly close, you know. Or towards water, I've never had.
Yeah, but the ambulances don't generally come from the hospital. They come from the local fire station, don't they?
They do, but they have a big depth of canal as well.
Right, okay.
They've built like a huge, big ambulance sort of bay area now, so that's all centralised.
So what do you say to people about Garda response times, or have you experience with that?
They don't have enough guards, let's be honest.
No, they don't. Right?
And I think it depends on the crime, or, God forgive me, where you live. If you're in a well-to-do area, maybe they might be a little bit quicker.
Now, you think so?
I'm only going on speculation.
So if you live in Killiney, they'll be out here in 5 minutes, but if you live in Finglas, you'll take your time. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just going on speculation here. I could be very, very wrong, and it's not the people who live there, and it's not the area.
I would hate to think that was a conscious decision made by
the guards. Yeah, correct. Yes. No.
I think part of the problem is that in larger populated areas, like, say, Finglas, or like Ballyfermot, or whatever it is, that in those large populated areas, they just don't have enough cars.
They don't have enough cars. They don't have enough members. The stretch thin as it is, as you've said before, half the time you go into a Garda station, there's five or six doing pass.
Like, I've seen four guards in one car yesterday, right?
Yeah, you're pointless.
That is pointless. If you go to America, for example, every single police officer has his own car.
That's correct. Yeah. Quicker response time, and they're on scene very, very quick.
Yeah.
And you've seen some of the stuff in America. If one cop gets into trouble, there's 15 or 20 other police cars literally within 5 minutes behind them.
Absolutely.
They just appear from nowhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but the guards just don't have the members. They just don't have.
Well, that's not good for, say, you know, Sandra, who sent us the message, whose house was broken into, and she's standing there crying her eyes out, and the guards tells her, I'll be out whenever we can, and he arrives a day and a half later.
Yeah, that's like what they say to you, can't touch anything. You're sitting in a complete mess, your house is wrecked, and you're saying, well, I can't pick it up, I can't clean it, I can't look at this for a day and a half. What's the point? I may as well just pull it away.
And, you know, I know some people mightn't take it too seriously, but house break-ins is a terrible thing to happen to somebody, because it's not just the stuff being nicked, right? You can replace stuff, or you can buy new stuff, right? But it's the feeling of being violated in your own home.
They've gone through everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what they've touched or what they've done. I know it's daytime radio, sorry, but you know what I mean.
I know.
I can only imagine. My house has never been broken into, touch wood.
It's happened to me once, and it's a horrible, horrible feeling, because for weeks afterwards, you feel unsafe when you leave the house. You feel like it's going to be broken into again.
You're nearly looking for someone dodgy. Is that you the last time I broke into my house? You know, it's like, was that you? Well, I'm just walking
past.
But I got
the same reaction. You know, I was told, you know, oh, don't touch that until forensics come out, blah, blah, blah. 2 days later, somebody arrived out from forensic or whatever it was. Fingerprint everything. You take your fingerprints, take all your family's fingerprints to make sure they can rule you out and care, because you're not breaking into your own house. And then I did say to the guy, the same as she did, what's the chance of them catching somebody? He says, forget about it.
They just don't.
They don't catch people for it.
Yeah, sure.
And they know who did it, because the guard told me. He said, we know who did it. He said they did seven houses here yesterday.
And yet they still won't go and approach the guy and arrest him. Yeah, makes sense.
It was a particular gang.
All right, okay.
And they move from area to area.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so you probably heard the other bit of the news today with the prison service. There are people sleeping on mattresses, and they've reached, I think, something like 200 or 300 extra people in prisons.
Let me get the tissues out, O'Shane.
I'm not,
you know what I mean? There's a whole argument about how prisoners should be treated. I was reading an article today about prisoners getting dessert. I got dessert once a week if I was lucky when I was a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, hard labour, chain gangs.
Well, there's an argument for treating prisoners well. There's also equally an argument for treating them badly. You know, so
yeah.
That's a whole other argument. But O'Shane, generally speaking, police Garda response times, you say it is bad, but it's not their fault.
It is bad. Look, let's be honest, it is bad. We've all heard stories, true or otherwise. But you know, they just don't have the staff. They just don't have the staff. Number one, number two, they don't have enough cars half the time anyway. And you know, if something serious is going down, like here where I'm living in Walkinstown, you have the M50. So you'll hear all the armed response units. You'll hear. My God, the amount of sirens you hear going around here every day of the week is insane. You think every guard in the country is going up and down that one stretch of the road. Do you know what I mean? Between ambulances and Garda cars, it's nuts. But response times, I think, need to be faster.
Okay, stay there a second. Let me go to Brian as well. Brian, you're on Ireland's Classic. It's ready. How you doing, Brian?
Hi, Neil. Not too bad.
Good. Brian, Garda response times. Generally speaking.
depends on what the issue is, right?
Well, it should. It should always depend on the issue, because priority should be given to more serious issues, obviously. Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, if you look at when you would have demonstrations, like the water demonstrations, you could have 2 to 10 Gardaí out on the protest within 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody was robbed down the road, it might be the next day. But when we have protests, the Gardaí seems to be out in force straight away.
During the water protests, I think there was probably the most amount of overtime guards ever got.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, we were in.
But I mean, I suppose you do need a lot of guards to keep the peace when you've got a lot of people. You know what I mean?
There was 20 Gardaí out in Ballyfihan for a week and a half, standing on one side of the road from half past 8 to half past 4. And we were on the other side, Ballyfihan, South Parish, on the other side of the road.
And how many of you was there protesting?
There'd have been about 30, 40.
See, yeah, well, then they do have to have guards there to keep the peace.
But there was nothing happening.
Yeah.
There was no water meters being put in.
Right.
So, I mean, it depends on...
So you're saying get your priorities right, lads.
Yeah. I mean, when you had the reclaim the streets, you had one Gardaí in the yellow baton and he hit everybody from here to Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing done about him. So, I mean, it depends on the situation. I mean, Gardaís are very good at doing certain things, but the hierarchy seems to be directing them to certain things. I mean, they always say they don't have enough cars, they don't have enough Gardaí.
Well, they don't.
Yeah, but if you start to protest in O'Connell Street or Patrick Street in Cork, you'll have Gardaí out in the
okay, and that's it. They'll be all brought out in the wagon, right? But
yeah.
But here's the thing, right? When you have, say, in an area, you know, 2 Garda cars in a large populated area and you've 12 guards in a Garda station, let's just say for argument's sake, and things happen, you'd be lucky to have 2 extra cars if there's 12 guards. But the cars are out and somebody rings up and says, my house is being robbed. There's nothing they can do until the car comes back or somebody's closer to that event or somebody might be, they might be at a road traffic accident or they might be somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's impossible unless we have a situation like America where every guard has his own car. And they all have done an advanced driving test. We're never going to get to that point where they would have a good response time.
What about guards on bikes? You know what I mean? I mean, they would be able to get the situations fairly quick if it was necessary.
Like, well, motorbikes.
Motorbikes.
You know, not every guard wants to drive a motorbike. Some do, but not every guard wants to drive a motorbike.
They're not always
practical, because motorbikes are usually used for escorts, they're usually used for traffic. But the problem with motorbikes is you can't arrest somebody on a motorbike. They're not much use from that point of view.
I mean, you could arrest them and handcuff them and wait for the patrol car then to come up.
I don't know the logistics of the time management in relation to that, but a lot of guards don't want to drive bikes.
I
get what you're saying. You're looking for answers, or you're looking for reasons, and you're looking for how can we do this better. And I get what you're saying.
I mean, the only reason why I said motorbikes is because they're fairly quick to get into. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes there are certain streets in Cork where the car can't go down because it's just too narrow.
Yeah,
and
too much traffic.
There might be a bollard at the end of the road where a bike could get through, but a car couldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. Like,
you're talking about bicycles as well. Yeah, okay.
And bicycles, yeah. You know, I mean, motorbike or a bicycle. I mean, the bicycles we have nowadays, like, I mean, you don't even have to pedal, you know what I mean? Because
they're electric.
Battery-operated ones,
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. Well, from that point of view, yes, it's not a bad idea.
You know, I mean, you could get 2 girls on these bikes, whether it is battery-operated or whatever, and they could go down, and one girl could arrest the other girl, or one girl could arrest them and stay there while the other girl is doing whatever has to be done, you know, taking statements and that kind of stuff, you know?
I get you. I take your point. But generally speaking, from your experience, Brian, leaving aside the water protest, I'm not, you know, dismissing that point, it's a good point, but leaving aside that, do you think Garda response time is good enough?
I don't think so. Like, I mean...
Okay.
I wouldn't have any personal... nobody robbed me house or anything.
Thankfully, yeah.
Or hopefully, this is not an invitation from... But
yeah.
But I'm talking to people, like, generally, like that. you know, if it's
they're waiting too long.
9 o'clock at night. Yeah. It's probably 9 o'clock the following morning by the time they get somebody up to a guard up to say what they have to happening or whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Thanks for that, Brian. Let me just go to Frank. Frank, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How you doing, Frank?
Niall, how are you doing?
Good, Frank. Emergency service response time, generally speaking, do you think...
Disgraceful.
You think it's disgraceful?
Yeah.
Okay, and what has your experience been?
Experience last year, I think it was from February or March, it doesn't really matter. The wife had a fall at home.
Okay.
Broke her ankle.
Oh, gosh.
Very badly.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually see it. The bone was nearly coming out, but that's beside the point.
I can almost feel the pain thinking about it.
Yeah. And she also has very serious COPD.
Okay.
So, rang the ambulance.
She was clearly very distressed, I imagine.
Oh, she was in agony, you know, fairness to her.
Yeah.
So I rang the ambulance and they took all the details, all the history, the usual. And grand, we'll have an ambulance out.
Yep.
An hour later.
Did they give you an estimated time when on the phone?
No, as soon as possible is what I was told.
Okay, okay.
An hour later, they rang me back. Now I'm in Cork City, the north side of Cork City.
Okay. So you're not out in the middle of rural Ireland somewhere? No,
no, I'm not, no.
Okay.
They rang me back an hour later and said, right, the ambulance is now in for Moy, on the way to you. He's coming from Thurles, County Tipperary.
What?
Exact words.
Sheepers.
Right.
Eventually,
the ambulance turned up. It was almost 3 hours.
Jeez, you could have came from Donegal.
Put it this way, I could have carried her. Our local hospital, the Mercy Hospital, is literally a 5-minute walk from my house.
And were you tempted to bring her out to the car and just throw her in the car and bring her down?
I don't drive, unfortunately.
Oh, you don't? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
You'd always... I know they say you should never move somebody, particularly if they've broken a bone and they've fallen
exactly.
Like that. But
I was tempted to ring a taxi, but I was thinking then, by ambulance, you might have better service in A&E rather than going... And, well, I won't say walking in because she couldn't...
And how? Where was she still lying on the floor, like, for the 3 hours?
I had got her back up in the chair.
Okay, all right, okay. And was she...
I put some ice and the usual on it, you
right,
know,
yeah, a few paracetamol things. Or something like that.
Yeah, simple things like that. No, unfortunately, because of the COPD, she can't take paracetamol.
Oh, okay.
So
how is she now, by the way?
Ah, she's...
grand. Did you get a cast put onto it and everything else? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she... Well, that's a separate story, but anyway, 3 hours later, as I said...
3 hours. That's not good enough, is it?
They turned up and brought us to the local hospital, which is 5 minutes away, as I said. So
I'm thinking of the logic of that, you know, coming from all the way from Thurles and from Moy, coming through from Moy and getting to you in the north side of Cork. And
therein lies the problem.
And just to bring you on a 5-minute journey.
I believe, the ambulance service contract... Whoever does it, when you ring 999, no, I think it's privately.
Well, there is private companies as well, yes.
It's contracted out.
Yes, yeah.
But I believe they have a response time. They have to send the nearest available ambulance. So when we got to the Mercy Hospital, there were 6 ambulances parked up outside waiting.
The problem we have here is...
Empty.
The problem we have is emergency services. It's A&E.
It's A&E, yeah.
Yeah, and so when the ambulance, say, brings your wife to the hospital, to A&E...
They have to wait.
They have to wait until the hospital take charge. So if the hospital are busy, and they could be there for an hour, waiting for somebody to come out and put your wife in on a bed.
Would you believe this now? Because of the hospital we went to, they put her in a cast, but they don't actually deal with brakes. So it may...
How could they put her in a cast if they don't deal with brakes?
They put a cast just as they did a leg, but she needed an operation.
Oh, so they just immobilised us, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she had to be moved to the CUH.
Oh, okay. So another ambulance.
Yes. And...
you would imagine that the first ambulance knew that they didn't deal with that anyway, and she's going...
They didn't even know where the hospital was.
Ah,
they were never in Cork before.
See, this is what you're dealing with.
And at 10 o'clock that night, they decided to move the wife to the COH, and the ambulance lads who dropped us at the first hospital were still standing around.
That's the problem. That's where we're at, Frank. Sorry to hear about your wife, and I'm glad to hear she's made a recovery, but the very idea that the ambulance drivers have no idea where the hospital was because it was a different company and it was coming from Thurles and to Fermoy just to get to the north side of Cork for 3 hours to bring you on a 5-minute journey seems completely nonsensical. Paul, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
How you doing, Paul?
Not too bad at all. Just to reiterate what the gentleman said a while ago about the water protests in Ballyfihan and the carry on with the guards and whatever. I'm a taxi driver in Cork City, and that day of that protest when all the guards were standing at the road in Ballyfihan.
I remember it well.
I was walking in the city the same day, and there was a party outside the library. There's a plinth outside the library in Cork where people gather to have drinking sessions and whatever, and there's a chipper there or whatever. And on the same day, there was six people who don't work for a living, what we've got a word, were having a party. And not a guard could be seen. At one stage, one of them was naked. They were using the street, city street in the Grand Parade as a toilet.
So no, I'm not going to disagree. On occasions during the water protest, the guard's priority was in the wrong place.
Yes.
And it's not, don't get me wrong, the guard are there to keep the peace, but I don't think it's the guard's responsibility to look after a private company, and that's exactly what they were doing at the time. So.
But you see, what it was, that's only like one step in the ladder. It's like a Christmas cake. It's only, like, they're upsetting the wrong people. Like, I was told a long, long time ago, my late father told me that, in the course of my growing up, that you can steal Mrs. Murphy's TV 7 days a week, but you daren't steal Dr. Murphy's TV. You'll be stopped fairly fast.
Somebody mentioned this earlier on now, and I find it, I would be very upset to hear that was true. Like, do you think, for example, somebody would the guards be quicker, you know, to go to a working class, or slower to go to a working class area than an upper class area?
1,000%, and I'll explain to you why. When Mrs. Murphy's TV is stolen, she rings the public desk. When Dr. Murphy's TV is stolen, she rings the superintendent he went to school with.
I get you.
And that's your answer. Well, that's exactly
but have you ever, Paul, personally, have you ever called the guards yourself to your own home for a break-in or for something that happened?
Yes.
And what was their response time? Being honest, what was their response time at the time?
One was about 12 hours. We had a break-in in the road here. There were 17 cars done by the same individual going back in 2008. It affected us terribly because my late father-in-law was very ill and we had no cars. He broke into two cars, the same guy. I asked the guards who caught him to basically, could I tell me when he's up for it, so I could go in and explain to the judge the hardship he caused us that week. And my late father-in-law passed away actually later that week. And the guy was done, and we knew nothing about it. I was actually on holidays in America, and my neighbour texted us and said, the court case is over. So we came back into Cork, went into the station in Cork, and asked why weren't we informed about the court case and whatever. No satisfaction. My own car got battered at nighttime work in a taxi at a junction in the area of the water protests by a gang, and I went to talk at a guard station. Again, no satisfaction. Went to a TD about it, and eventually I got a pulse number from a superintendent because the guard had reported it, had not logged it as a complaint. She was more worried about my tax and insurance rather than my car being battered. Someone that night was looking down on me. The stone that the guy threw at me hit the frame of the window as opposed to hitting the glass. I was dead if it hit the window. That's the truth.
Okay.
It was attempted murder, basically. And nothing done about it, ever done about it. We don't see any guards. I'm a cab driver. I'm inside in town there 7, 8, 10-hour shifts. I don't see a guard for the whole day.
And you're not the only person to say that. I think there's a shortage of guards. There's no doubt about that. There's a shortage of guarded cars. They have, and in fairness to the guards, and look, you know, there's always going to be bad apples in every orchard and people don't do their jobs properly. The majority of guards, I think, do a good job. And it's a thankless job. I personally wouldn't do it, Paul.
Yes, you know, but see, Niall, this is
I mean, would you do it?
No, I was in the army for years myself. I know exactly what they do. But clear to me, this is the problem is, Niall, this is where it gets sticky, is that the people who live at the other side of the law, we all know who they are, they don't care about the guards, and the guards know that. So then the guards decide to take it out on the law-abiding citizen who breaks...
Because the people who live on the other side of the law are too much trouble. Yeah.
Exactly. So they'll do the job on some law-abiding citizen who has one misdemeanour. He gets hammered. And the person, you went to the, like, everyone in Ireland should be sent into a courtroom just to look what goes on inside in Cork Courthouse or Dublin Courthouse and to see the disrespect and the carry-on of people with 30 and 40 and 100 convictions. I was in the court, I contested a 3-point speeding charge, I got it squashed, and I went to 3 courts about it, to see people calling the judge names inside in the court, calling him names from the back of the courtroom, and the guards laughing about it. And people laughing.
I know. By the way, these are career criminals, of course, who are in and out of courts like yo-yos. Yes. And every one of them, every single one. There was a case, so somebody mentioned to me yesterday, so I'm going by overtime now, and they mentioned he had 152 convictions.
Yes.
And he was only a young fella. He was like 25, right? And I said, how do you get 152 convictions at 25 years of age? How can you, like, it must be actually difficult to achieve that. And then he only got like 6 months in prison, which he'll probably serve too. And I could just come to 150 something convictions or whatever it was he had. It's just incredible.
Right. Because you see, it's like it's a game. You see, it's a game. It means nothing to them. Like for you and me, if we get a parking fine or we get something, we worry about it.
And what do we do? You do, and if we get called to court, we worry even more about it.
Classic Hits Radio.
How are you, Niall? We had an incident in our estate there not that long ago, where a guy was causing a lot of hassle and had driven cars up on lawns and robbed another one and was going fighting and stuff. We called the guards. There were 3 hours coming. When they turned up, they lifted him, fair enough. He went to court the following week. He was on probation. He had a 5-year probation. The court let him out. No charges, no nothing. Go figure that one.
Yeah, well, this is, and then the guards will say, this is why we don't bother, because it's a complete waste of time. Somebody else texts in and says, I called the emergency service last March. I'm 7 miles from the fire station, 2 minutes from a Garda station, and 15 minutes after I called, the helicopter arrived. Fire service and the ambulance were all at my house. The Garda were the last to arrive. I'm assuming it's a very serious situation that happened in your house. The Garda were the last to arrive, even though they're only 2 minutes away. 2 minutes away. The guards were the last to arrive. Anyway, they arrived a half an hour later. So the helicopter's there, emergency service is there, the ambulance is there, what seems like a very serious situation, and the guards were the last to arrive. Sorry, it's not looking good for the guards today. If you've a good story, I want to hear that too. Nigel, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How you doing, Nigel?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
Good. I understand the guards have to prioritise because they've limited resources, which is a problem for them, and that's not their fault. And sometimes things like burglaries or things that they know they're not going to catch somebody for, your car being broken into, etc., are last on the list.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to you?
I rang them. Basically, I live in a small town in County Sligo, but we have a new Garda barracks there. It's quite a substantial building with a lot of Garda in it, and it was only new. I rang them. It was about 3 a.m. Sunday morning.
3 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, yeah, your line is just a bit muffled, Nigel. But go on, 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, yeah?
Yeah, so I was lying in bed and I heard a noise at the side of the house. So it was a guy, he was on a 6-foot wall.
You have to speak up, Nigel, or take your phone off speaker if it's on speaker or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, is that any better, Nigel?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah, keep going. There was a guy at the side of your house.
Yeah, he was on a 6-foot wall climbing into my back garden. So I rang the guards, the local Garda barracks, and told them that there's a guy just breaking into my back garden as I speak. And as I was on the phone to them, I said, oh, I hear him coming in the back door.
Right.
So they says to me, we've no car in the area, so it'll take a little while to get here. Now, the Garda station is a 3-minute walk from my house.
And there was no car available to get someone to. You'd think the guards would have just ran out the door, actually, wouldn't you, at that stage?
That's it, yeah. Now, it turned out it was just a drunk fool, so I was lucky enough.
Right, but it could have been more serious.
It could have. So after 20 minutes, I threw him out the front door, told him to go home, and they landed.
So he was drunk and he came in the back door of your house?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
As I was on the phone to the guards and told them this.
So the point you're making is, even though there was no car available, their job is to serve and protect. Their 2-minute walk or 3-minute walk from your house, they could have just sent somebody on foot. Is that laziness, is it?
I don't know what it was, because obviously there was a guard there, because it was that barracks. It was 999 I rang. It was that actual station that I rang. So there was somebody there to answer the phone, so even they could have came down.
Yeah, the funniest one I had was many, many years ago. There was some gurriers acting the maggot out in the field in front of my house, going back up about 10, 15 years ago. And I rang the guards 3 or 4 times. Nobody arrived. I started getting a bit irate at this stage. So eventually they came about 3 hours later. The gurriers were now gone at this stage. A guard arrives. He was a big lad. I'm not going to lie to you. He got out of the car with a cup of coffee in his hand. In a mug, like, in a mug. And put it on the roof of the car, had a look around, pulled up his trousers, got back into the car and drove off again. And I said, he actually drove the car with a mug of tea in his hand.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, Nigel, I'm sorry to hear that happened. Well, when I say I'm sorry, thankfully it was only a drunk fool, but it could have been worse. But you are right. They could have taken the initiative and sent somebody out the bloody door. Let me go to Tasha. Tasha, you're an Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Tasha?
Hi, how are you? Kasia, actually, is my name.
Oh, Kasia. I do apologise. Sorry.
Kasia, no worries. I have actually a few good stories about guards, about fire stations, about ambulance. One happened actually with me a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. I was on my own in the house with two small kids and somebody get into my house in the back of the door.
Not like a burglar.
Yep.
While you were there with the kids?
Upstairs in bed, 10:30. Was it 10:30?
Oh
yes,
my.
10:30 in the evening.
You must have been terrified.
Exactly.
No, go on.
I'm laughing now, but I wasn't laughing.
No, then. I'm sure you weren't. No, but go on. So, go on. You heard it. Did you hear the banging of the window or something like that?
I thought I heard some kind of noise, and I thought, oh, that's probably the cat coming through the back window. I always leave the window a little bit open, and we have a neighbor cat who always come in for visit.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that's probably the cat. And the next thing, the noise came in, and it was kind of, you can hear the footprint, like the.
Yeah, the footsteps of the person, yeah.
I'm like, fuck, that's not the cat. So I text, first of all, I text my friend. I said, there's somebody in the house. If I'm dead, if I don't ring you in a few minutes, you know, there's something happening. He responds and he said, that's fine, ring the cat. I'm on my way. I'm ringing the cat. I was ringing 112 I rang.
Okay, doesn't matter what you ring. Any three numbers will work. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I rang that and they asked me which service I need. And I said, guards. So they connect me to the guards, and I said to them what's happening. I said, there's somebody in my house. I'm upstairs with my two kids. I have scissors in my hand, and I'm not going to be afraid to use them if I have to. And they said, okay, stay there. And I said, no, I'm going down because I don't want them to come up to my kids.
Classic Hits Radio.
So, Kasia.
Yes.
You're upstairs. How many children have you got, by the way? Two, is it?
Two.
How many? Okay,
four
two.
And eight.
Okay. And were they scared? Did they know what was happening to?
No, they were asleep. It was 10:30.
Okay. So there was.
Thank God.
Okay, so you're up there, scissors in hand. You hear footsteps downstairs. You text your friend and say to your friend, if I don't text you soon, something's gone very wrong. There's someone in my house.
Yes.
What happened?
So I was connected to the Garda and I said, there's somebody in the house and I'm going down with the scissors in my hand. And at the time when I'm talking with the Garda, I'm shouting to the phone and I said, I'm coming down, I'm having the scissors in my hands, I'm not going to be afraid to use them, and all that's happening. And I hear one door closing and then another, the back door closing, so obviously they run out of the house.
Okay.
But I'm still...
You're a brave woman, by the way, Kasia. I wouldn't have been going down the stairs. You're a brave woman.
Jesus. You would if you have two kids at home and you hear all about it and you're like, they come up and my kids see them and anything can happen. I saw, and that split couple of minutes, I saw them hanging, I saw them chopped hands, I saw...
I know, you saw everything going wrong. I know, yeah, you clamatized the whole thing and your answer was, I got to protect my family, and you're perfectly right. Yeah.
And like that, I said, the guys will probably be here for another hour or two. I cannot wait upstairs with the kids because who knows what's going to happen. In the meantime, which I wasn't aware, my friend rang my ex-partner who lived just 5 doors away from me, which I wasn't aware. But the guard said, look, we're coming down. We'll be there in a few minutes. And I walked the whole house and obviously they have been gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. They're gone. My partner who lived 5 doors away from me came in 2 minutes before the guard arrived.
Okay.
I live in the countryside.
Okay, so they got there very quick.
Very quick.
Okay, that's good to hear.
They were very helpful. They came in, they calmed me down, and I mean...
I'd say you were white as a sheet, were you? Do you know what I mean? I mean, you must have been terrified.
I was puking the whole place. I was shaking. I was crying. I didn't know what was happening. My ex-partner came in. I said, would you please go upstairs to the kids? He's Irish, obviously. I'm Polish. But I said, will you go upstairs just in case the kids wake up and all that kind of thing? You know, I didn't want them to see the guards in the middle of the night in the house.
Do you think if the assailant had been downstairs and didn't leave, would you have had the...
I don't know.
Would you have done it? Would you have used the scissors?
I think now, I don't know.
Hmm. I think you're when you're in that state, your adrenaline probably kicks in. Do you know what I mean? And by the way, you probably did the right thing. I would always say to people, if you're upstairs with your kids and your house has been broken into and you think there's a burglar downstairs, I would always say, don't do anything until you think they're going to come up the stairs. And that's what I would do. If I heard them on the first step coming up the stairs, I'd be out the door, baseball bat, whatever I had, and they'd be going down quicker than I would, I hope.
Yeah, but that's like that. Now, just pure luck, I was doing something for my child and for school clothing or something. So just pure luck, I had the scissors upstairs. I don't have scissors upstairs in my bedroom ever, like, you know.
Yeah. Imagine you had to do that. That would have been...
I never actually thought of it.
It'd be on your conscience for the rest of your life as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
But
after that, I actually didn't ever thought about it, will I do it or will I not.
So do you lock the window now to stop the cat getting in?
The doors and windows are closed during the day, isn't it?
And have you got an alarm, Kasia?
No.
You can buy them online kind of cheap enough now,
I know.
You know?
I've already on it. I'm getting the
You don't even have to... I mean, look, you can pay and have a really good one installed by a professional.
Yes.
But you can go on Amazon now, you can get the Ring. They call it Ring, made by Google.
Yes.
And you don't need wires. You don't need any skill to put it up. I did it.
Yes.
They're great. And they work brilliantly.
Now I know. But, like, I live in... You know, I would never think of it. Before, I would leave the door open.
I know.
I actually had it closed because...
Do you know, Kasia, they were the days when you could leave your door open. I think those days are long gone, Kasia.
Yeah, I was just saying with somebody, I said, I remember when I leave my phone, my purse, my everything on the car.
I know.
Windows open, car open.
Yeah.
3 days later, you come in and I will be still there.
I know. Sure, there was always a thing in Ireland, and particularly in around Ireland, Dublin, when I lived in Dublin, that in the tenement estates, you know, where they had the social housing, that everybody was a part of a community and people just left their doors open and they walked in from one house to the other and said hello, you know.
Yes. So. Now, I have a really good community around my place where I live. Unreal. I couldn't praise them enough. Unfortunately, I've been through a pretty shit...
Bad time. Yeah, I get you. Kasia, I got to go to the news. Listen, I'm delighted you're okay. I'm delighted you never had to use the scissors in the end, but I'm sorry you went through such a traumatic time.
But I just want to say, the ambulance and fire stations are unreal. They are just people, and I know people giving out about them. The guards are just people. It's like us. We are people.
Absolutely.
Make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
And you are right. And I think with more resources, they could do a better job. It's not always their fault if they don't have a car available or they don't have an ambulance available or whatever it is. Kasia, well said.
Real people. Real opinions. Real Talk Radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.